Good morning. You're listening to WDRT Conversations. I'm Mary Christensen, and today my guest is Teresa Washburn. You might recall, if you're an avid listener to this program, that Teresa and I spoke during my first conversation back in July 2021. And then last November, when I couldn't make a recording, I asked to replay hers. So those of you who want to, and I really urge you to do this, to go back into the archives on Conversations and then just scroll down till you see November 14th, 2024, where the replay of this original talk was. The reason it's important is it has a lot to do about the history of the revitalization of Viroqua. Yeah. Teresa was the first project manager of that program, and it's a funny story. It's a heartwarming story. It's full of great details. We covered a lot of ground, and I'll come back to some of the themes today because I want to jump off of them. From them, because it's 4 years later, and you were going to go, oh, well, where are we now 4 years later?
Right.
Because Teresa has a lot of experience working in the area of rural development, servant leadership, communications and marketing, is an entrepreneur herself, you know, lives locally. She has a lot of history here and a lot of perspective, I'd say, to bring to our conversation.
Hi, Mary. Good to see you again, by the way.
Yeah, check in with us.
Yeah. So 4 years. Let's see. When I spoke to you last, I was on the Chamber Tourism Committee.
That's right.
And honestly, it was a wonderful committee to be on, and good perspective on what's happening with the tourism, because tourism is a shifting kind of I would call sort of income source for Viroqua right now and Vernon County as a whole. And then I have some elderly parents needed work, and then I did finally sit down and write the story I'd been wanting to write, which is my foray into rural development, which was my 2 years in the Dominican Republic in a small village where I really started working in rural development and working with the community. I finally wrote that out.
Great.
So that's done. So now I'm kind of trying to figure out where I stand. The business is just booming, and enough that I'm at the point I want to retire.
What do you mean the business is booming?
We have 5 Airbnb apartments, and so just the shifting sands of Viroqua. Of course, there's also this big housing issue, which we'll probably talk about.
Mm-hmm.
People are just flocking to this place, to the Driftless area and Viroqua, for good reason, right?
Right.
Lots is going on. It's very attractive. And there's all kinds of ways they're here. And we can talk a little bit about what I've learned about why people come here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm taking care of two 90-year-olds and running my business in writing.
And did they move here?
Yes, I moved them here about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Another one of those trends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a wonderful place for older people because big cities are tough on older people.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough on little people, and they're tough on older people.
Mm-hmm. And we in the middle, we toughen up.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. We can handle the chaos. And
sort of, we think. Oh, well. So that's good that you mentioned the tourism committee, because when we ended last time and I asked you, what do you see in our future?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see this area unfold? What should we be concerned about, or what should we be interested in, or what?
Right.
You know, and you talked about forces, mm-hmm. outside forces.
That's right.
Coming at us. And
well, it's important to understand that there's a dynamic between what's happening inside, mm-hmm. quote unquote, the community, that also then it's a action reaction kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Viroqua has the gift of so many internal options, things that people are doing here that are different, and that includes places to have a job, it includes places to enjoy yourself, it includes people with some really interesting ideas about, you know, what this area is about. Those forces then bring in the outside forces, and then that in turn creates this kind of energy where some of those people, a percentage, want to come here and live here and also do something creative. And, you know, I think it's important to remember that. I remember when I came here, I think it's 35 years ago.
Right. No, it
would be. I'm going to whisper that. 35 years ago, one of the things that I noticed, and you know, I had been living in a village of about 1,000 people on this little island, and there were a lot of similarities. It was a agricultural community, and when I came here, this was an agricultural community. But one of the things that I noticed that was starting to happen in Viroqua, and I think Fred Nelson more than anyone noticed this too, was there was kind of this falling away of curiosity, right? It was a sort of, I'm not going to try to be curious about the next thing, about what's possible. I'm going to stay a little bit sad about the loss of what we had, right?
Yeah, right.
And if you look at anything in life that keeps people happy and moving, it's curiosity. And it's that kind of like, well, what could be next? What I saw this, do you think we could do this? This is something I heard. I saw something over here. I went to this town. Do you think we could try that? That's a curiosity that moves the human being into action, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a first step. And what I had noticed was there wasn't this curiosity anymore. And that was really kind of a core thing to start working on, is to getting people curious by showing them. And, you know, it's kind of like a child. When you want a child to get curious, you show them interesting things, don't you?
Right.
And then you get them to wonder if they could participate in those interesting things. And that brings them joy. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we started doing. And what I notice about Viroqua now is it continues to be a very curious community.
That's true.
It really wonders about itself a lot and asks good questions. Could we be a community that does this? I mean, WDRT is a perfect example of a curiosity, right? Can we put together a radio station?
I wonder how that would look.
I wonder how that would look, right?
Let's just try.
Yes.
What do we need to do first?
Right. That's real joy, mm-hmm. right? That's real excitement. When you lose your curiosity, you lose that excitement. And so, I love for people to, instead of sort of, well, this is going wrong and this is going wrong and we're having this problem, because all communities have problems all the time. They make new problems for themselves or issues or whatever you want to call it. But if they stay curious, then they're able to solve those. If they just return to, well, it used to be like this and I don't know any other way. Mm-hmm. Then you get a stasis that doesn't work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that curiosity can be overwhelming to someone who isn't willing to be curious. It's like, why are we doing all these new things, right? Well, nothing's really ever new, by the way. It's just a variation on the theme.
Right. Exactly.
Human beings pretty much do the same thing they've done for mm-hmm. a long time. So it's ways we make it ours, right?
Right, and whether it meets our energy level.
Right.
Too.
Yeah, it fits our energy level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a really quick story.
Yeah.
This morning, a friend texted me and said, are you looking for cats for yourself or your sister? And I go, I better check Facebook. Maybe I've been hacked. I don't think so. And then she looked back. She goes, well, maybe there's another Mary Christensen. I said, well, actually, there is in my township. She said, okay. Well, it said they have a new barn, a new horse, some chickens. They needed cats. I said, not me. I'm winding down, not up. But that's an interesting thing.
Yes.
It's like
yes.
that. Because we're also multi-generational here,
Yeah.
There are a lot of different energy levels to
That's
meet.
Right. That's right. I'm at the energy level right now where my curiosity is, can I reflect on my life and can I learn something from that? And then maybe can I teach somebody?
Exactly.
Right? Yep. That's my curiosity. It's a digging deep inside myself to say, well, when I made that huge mistake, is there something that came out of that? Right? Mm-hmm. Is there some learning? And I'm also really, I always feel very excited when younger people are getting that energy of curiosity, of exploration. I also want to support them.
Exactly.
So that's the role I take now. I'm not going to be upfront. Like, I mean, when I was 28 and I moved here, I had all this energy. And, you know, I was often working 60 hours a week on projects and just loving it. Mm-hmm. No thank you now.
Right.
Right? That's somebody else's work.
Right.
So.
Right.
But I can support them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. And within that story about curiosity is the seed of something you said in the last interview where you were talking about having interviewed a lot of leaders because you were working on a paper on servant leadership.
That's right.
And one of the things that you saw in that was that people could keep on working and really get engaged when they were working for something, when they saw themselves working within a whole.
Yes.
And they were working for the community beyond their own personal gain. Not totally beyond, but when limited.
There is energy in the we, mm-hmm. okay? There's a tremendous energy in the we. And if you think about expansion, right, of self, right, understanding the core of you is really important.
Mm-hmm.
But moving that out, and sometimes that's hard. You run into people that are not appreciative of you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a learning, right? So the people that understood the core of themselves, I mean, these leaders that I interviewed, they had gone through something hard. Okay, they had sort of done that hero's journey pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'd gone through something hard, and they had gotten out of it, and they found some deeper part of themselves. And from that energy, they wanted to move that energy outward into the world. And they mm-hmm. wanted to connect with others. And they wanted to expand what they learned into something. And like I said, it's difficult to do that in a way, especially like I always think about, I wonder how it would have been for me if there had been social media when I was working here,
mm-hmm.
because I already got a lot of like negative talk around what I was doing and everything. There were always somebody that just was talking badly about me, but like now it's really hard because you put yourself out there and then somebody, you know, who's sitting at home, not expanding, not being curious, not doing the internal drive, is sitting there waiting to jump on that. Before, mm-hmm. they used to just hang out at the corner and talk together after breakfast, right? We called them the crying corner. You know, they all sat and got, you know, talked about how bad things are while good things were happening, you know.
What a picture.
Exactly. So that's hard right now to put yourself out there. But the fact is that you can do that in so many ways. And for me right now, it's writing, right? It's mm-hmm. that's put myself out into the we as I write, because that's not for just me. That's for other people. And doing this is simple, but it's for the we, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
to reconnect. But that drive inside, and that it's this wonderful kind of soup of energy that you get. And then other people pick up on that and move and get excited. And one of the things that I've learned, I studied servant leadership. I worked in rural communities all over the Midwest. And then, of course, I started in the DR. And then I also did some cooperative work with the cooperative leadership program through CROP, Cooley, organic valley, known mm-hmm. as Organic Valley. And one of the things that I've learned is it only takes about 10%, right? You don't have to have everybody on board. In fact, there's an important piece to the way that the sort of bubble of community works. The 10% driving forward, oftentimes just simply supported by a group of people that go, yeah, this is a good idea, but they're not going to, I mean, especially working families, like they don't have time for extra things.
Right.
Also buoyed by a group of people asking questions and you know, maybe being negative about it, is actually an important dynamic.
The dialogue can happen.
Yeah.
Or our assumptions can be tested.
That's right. You should never quell quote-unquote dissent because it makes that driving force much better. And I am always interested in the person, and I was really interested in this in the co-op. We had like this group of farmers that were like, this isn't good and this isn't good. And underlying all those questions was truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that should happen, and we should all be willing to hear that side of the truth. However, when it gets lopsided, you know, it's kind of 10% on either side and then the group in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. When it gets lopsided either way, where the force going forward in a direction gets too big and they quell any dissident, or the dissidence gets too big, then chaos starts to occur, right? So and so in organizations, it's important for people that are in, particularly in the leadership that I saw, that they are driven by an inner understanding and an inner force. And for most of these people that I knew and that I interviewed, that inner force was connected to a greater good, right?
Right.
And some people would call that God. Some people would call that spirit. It didn't matter. They didn't feel as if they were the one and only.
Right.
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 They felt very connected to something greater than themselves, and they wanted to expand out through that connection. But not, I'm not talking about being leaders in a religious community. They were just drawing from something greater than themselves.
Well, it is true when you have wisdom or when you make it through these dark, hard situations in our life, we've been given a gift, actually, of wisdom.
That's right.
And you want to share it.
Yeah.
You want it not to be so hard for the next person, maybe. Well, that can't happen. No. But in the trying, you learn how to walk.
This is what I've decided wisdom does. It helps the next person keep going through the hard times. It doesn't get them out of the hard times. Okay. It says, yep, it's hard. You got it, though. You got it. You can keep going. I've seen this before. I've done this before.
Right.
All those things. That's the driving force of wisdom, is not to stop the wind and the rain and the thunder and the lightning. It is not to stop that. It is to say you can keep going.
Right. That's great. Okay, let's just all think about that for a minute while we take a little station break. You're listening to Conversations on WDRT Radio 91.9 here in Viroqua, or streaming on WDRT.org. This program will play, will stream all week until the following program. And you can find it by going to Conversations on the archives, and you'll find all the podcasts that go back. And find some really wonderful conversations, interesting people doing them, and interesting guests, and get a flavor for Viroqua. Yeah. Okay, Teresa, that thing about wisdom, I like that. One of the things in our first interview long ago, 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Was I was reflecting on how Bert Stitt, who was the facilitator for this Review and Renew retreat that we went to, which was a great...
That was before my time.
No, we were at the Review and Renew. It was
one year
after your three-year contract, or 2 years. He talked to a bunch of us who just kind of moved to the area in the last 5 years, let's say 5 or 10 years. And, you know, he said, there are 11 of you here. You are kind of a force. We were from Pleasant Ridge, but we all were at different stages of having been here. And after he went around and had us introduce ourselves and what we thought was needed, then he said, you know, you have to get a perspective of appreciation first of why you came here and build from there and think about what you can bring and contribute at various levels, not what others need to change. That was really impactful for me to hear and for all of us to hear. And I think it's totally true about any kind of community.
100%. So you have to feel the oppositional forces within you. Some people feel uncomfortable with this. But you can be so grateful and appreciative of what is. That doesn't mean you have stasis.
Right.
A plant that is big and, you know, beautiful doesn't stop growing because the sun is amazing. It still keeps growing, right? It just keeps moving, even though it looks like it's done. It's not. It's beautiful, but it can be more. So when you have this combination of deep appreciation, and I saw that a lot, particularly with some of the older volunteers, and I'm going to name Janet Shipper. Do you remember Janet Shipper?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. She taught me so much. And we didn't agree on a lot of things, but what we agreed on is she saw this community as wonderful, and she saw this community as needing more at the same time, right? And she was older at the time. She ended up being the editor of the newsletter, thankfully, because I couldn't edit a newsletter to save my life. And she wrote for me, and she was the head of a committee. And every day when I met her, she would say, "What a glorious day! Now, what are we going to do?"
Fantastic! You know?
Yeah. That's that combination, that deep appreciation. It doesn't mean that if you want movement in your community, it does not mean that you're unhappy with it. It means that you love it enough to keep going. And it's just like a child. You're happy with what they, but you keep encouraging that child. You don't go, "Well, you've done a really good job. We're done now." You know, right. It's like, "Wow, wonder what's next." And that's a really important play. And you know, there were some people that were like, "Why do we have to do anything?" I'm like, "Well, why do you have to put gas in your car? Because you got to keep going, right?" So it's really this linear thinking, it's really important that we do not think of any endeavor in the human era, especially in the human arena, especially in community, as a linear process. It goes back around constantly over itself, but the circle keeps expanding, right? Mm-hmm. It keeps moving. And more people get involved in different ways. I'm so happy when I see a new face getting involved. Somebody brand new coming in and having energy, that's really good. And then people like me go to the center of the circle, right? We move. We're not expanding it anymore. We're sort of holding the center energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really important. Mm-hmm. And so appreciation and still desire for movement is a really important kind of tension to hold.
Good point. Yeah. I mean, you're describing a living system.
That's right.
It's a living system. If there's no feedback, there's death eventually.
That's right.
Because we cannot think it all through ourselves.
No.
At all.
No.
We have to respond to what's living around us because we're actually part of it. Even though we think we're separate.
Yeah. And it's a little scary to some people. Some people kind of think of it as too much, but it's if they thought about their life, they would realize that they're doing that all the time intuitively. You know, when you make it intellectual sometimes, you know, I ride horses, and one of the things when you ride horses is sometimes you have to stop thinking about what you're doing on a horse, and they say whistle and ride, right? And sometimes for people who just get like, I can't handle it, it's just, okay, just whistle and ride. Just go out and do life, and you'll find out that's what you're doing anyway. You don't have to always intellectualize it, but it is good to know what you're doing.
And it's good to stop and pause and reflect.
Right.
Because that circle involves that.
That's right.
It involves that so that
there's
we can
always
learn.
Always a pausing place.
Learn and then form new ideas and go forward.
And in fact, if I would say, particularly in this society and in a community, one of the things that probably is missing more than anything is the pause. Okay? Everybody, like, there are some people that are driving, like, we got to keep doing this. And the pause is important, is really important. And the other day I was uptown when they were doing one of the music in the on Court Street, which, you know, for me is just like heaven because I remember when I came here, I'm like, Court Street would be such a great street for music and stuff in here. Now it is. It's just, that's all it was for me was a thought. I didn't do anything about it. And I was watching people dance and people talk to each other, and I was like, this is kind of the pause, right? The celebration, the moment where you go, gosh, isn't this great, right? But yeah. We have to do that too. We can't. We do need to take a moment and go inward for a little bit and breathe through what we're trying to deal with and then go back out and do it.
Yeah, find our own balance.
Yeah.
Which is a seeking. It's not a thing. It's a seeking.
But as a community, and, you know, it can be an organization, a community. Mm-hmm. In fact, in servant leadership, they talk a lot about this. And when I worked at the Franciscan Spirituality Center, we had a weekly pause. We all sat and we read a poem together and we thought about the poem. I mean, I remember the first time it happened, I thought, is someone paying me to do this?
That's great.
This is really, but it was really interesting because I always walked away with more energy to get something done.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But communities do need to understand that sometimes, just like a living system, they'll pause without any kind of thoughtful pause. It'll be like, well, nothing's happening. That's okay. It just, as long as it isn't because everybody doesn't want to do anything, as long as it is just a pause. And that happens a lot of time in the wintertime here, right?
Yes.
Things pause a
we
little.
We love it, right?
Yeah,
some of us
yeah.
Oh, good, it's winter. I can stop doing all this stuff.
That's right.
Oh, now
get your
it's
energy.
Spring.
I know.
Oh, God, I can't wait to get
is
out
it
there.
Is it spring, though? It seems a little bit like winter.
Do I still have to wait until May 15th to put my tomatoes in? In talking about this, there's another interesting concept that I've came across years ago in college, but it's cropping up again, the idea in some other organizational development podcasts I listen to, and that's that in the world of biology, it was described by his name is Ilya Prigogine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in all living systems, there's always some place of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also islands of coherence.
That's right.
Wow. That, you know, back then that really gave me a lot of hope because as a 28-year-old, I only saw chaos.
That's
right. You know, war and, you know, just all the issues of the 70s. And, so that's something for us to remember, too, and so that even if something seems to be coming apart, some other place in the community is cohering.
That's right.
And offers this safe place or this place to work or...
Well, that, we'll get back to the wisdom thing. So, so if you were a person that noted the patterns of life, right? And you are now older, and you watched chaos, then patterns, right? You mostly can say, oh, I see coherence over here, and I know... like, I'm not afraid of chaos. I do like to order it. It's kind of fun, right? To see if you can take all this chaotic stuff and put it together. Mm-hmm. That's like my curiosity in life. Mm-hmm. Can I take chaotic ideas and put them all together? Can I take chaotic experiences and put them all together and see if there's a pattern in that? So the wisdom is really understanding that chaos is a movement, right? It moves and creates new things. Mm-hmm. That's just what its job is, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't have complete chaos without something holding order in that. So I'm going to give you a visual, okay? Yes. So that we can... So when you're working with a new horse, let's say, and this is one thing I do a lot, I don't work with new horses anymore, but I work with horses, and I look at this and I watch people. You can send them out in a circle on a line, and sometimes what you get is this frenetic, chaotic energy, right? And they're bucking, and they're rearing, and they're doing all this stuff that just looks like no order at all to their behavior and their body. Your job is to stand in the middle and wait, okay? Mm-hmm. And in your mind, hold the image of what you want, okay? It's not to say bad horse or get yourself together or anything. It's to wait and to hold the energy and then to ask again. Let's say you just want them to walk around you in a circle and they just throw this fit, right? Your job is to hold and wait and ask again and ask again. And before you know it, the horse goes, you know what? It feels a lot better just to walk around. Right? Because chaos doesn't feel good.
Right.
It feels awful sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right? It feels awful for the person in chaos or the being in chaos or the system in chaos. But it does create some kind of energy that you need. You learn a lot from a chaotic horse. You learn the amount of energy they have. But that holding energy is one of the things that I think, you know, as I get older, I'm like, what do elderly people do in this world? It's not like this is a world where we love the elderly.
Right.
It's just kind of like, when are they going to die and stop taking Social Security? So,
give me their money.
So anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
But that is it. It's holding the energy. Yes, we're going to go through some things, but I'm going to help hold the energy here. I'm going to help hold the vision.
I would say vision, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Attention.
Yes.
Attention's so important.
Attention. And mm-hmm. in a community, it's normal that things like this are going to happen. But there have to be people that go, uh-huh, yep, this has happened before. And we can get through it. And I'm going to hold the energy for you. And I'm going to help you keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
Not going to throw gas on the fire.
Or tell you you're like bad that. Because right. there's chaos. Right.
Right.
It's just.
Very good. Yeah. I agree with those ideas very much. And, of course, as we became grandparents, it became even more obvious.
Yes.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, we do have a role here.
Yeah.
Bigger than I thought, maybe. Maybe even more energy. It takes more energy than I think I have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's something else, and I have to look for that.
That's right.
Because it's like a, now we've gone from one and two to three to four and five. And
right.
It's a new system.
Yeah.
And it's a system.
We should start gathering the elders. That's what we should do.
Right. We should stand on the corners and talk about things. No, just hold the energy. But, you know, what's really interesting is there are more gatherings of elders mm-hmm. lately. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing mm-hmm. the program that Bethel has for the After 50 crew, and they have quite a good program. Education and food and
this whole notion of gathering the elders, it's really important that it isn't just to like hang out and play games. It's to gather the information and mm-hmm. the energy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I do think one of the things that makes Viroqua wonderful is the diversity of generations that live here. And I remember this happened to my daughter. Her grandma lived here, and she was used to older people and younger people and just all over the board, which is really, really important. I saw that in the Dominican Republic and in the village as well. And there was this kind of generational respect that she learned. And she was a Girl Scout. She was selling Girl Scout cookies. And there was a girl that just didn't have that in her life. She had no idea what it was like to be around an elder at all. And my daughter, she was trying to sell these cookies to this older lady, and my daughter was like, no, that's, you don't talk really fast, and you don't tell her what to do. You talk with her respect. And my daughter sort of showed her how to do that. And that's something that I love about the community, is that we have this energy of youth that's in here. We have the different schools. We have, you know, all kinds of youth sports, and we really put a lot of emphasis and energy on the youth. But we also have these wonderful things for elderly people, and we value both of them. And mm-hmm. that really helps the community if you can do that. Mm-hmm. If it isn't for just one generation, but it's for all generations. You can't be everything to everyone, but in a community you can hold all the generations.
Right. And there are a lot of small organizations.
Yes.
And smaller,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, call them enterprises, but retreat centers, I mean the folk school.
All those things.
Oh my gosh, if you go to I went to one class, and there were two couples from out of town who made it their weekend to go to Viroqua.
That's
just
right.
To try.
That's right. I see this all the time.
And that was so great.
Yeah, I see this all the time, all the people that come here. I also see people that come here to stay in one of my places that are grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and that live someplace else, and they stay for a week or two and hang out with their grandchildren that live here.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful thing. You know, it's just, and they feel so invited and held, and they love what we've got to offer, and they're like, we'll come back again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to see our grandchildren, but we're in this fabulous place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this that Viroqua is leads to pressures, right? And that's one of the things that we talked about a little bit, like what thinking towards the future. When you have a place that people love and enjoy and want to be in, it pressurizes that place, right?
Right.
There's the movement inward, mm-hmm. and it changes it. Is it bad change? Is it good change? It depends on how we work with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And but it's not easy to feel that pressure that, you know, the next person wants to come and the next person wants to come. People who are different from us want to be here, and we lose our curiosity about what different people look like and things like that, and we just start to get in that stasis. That can be a real problem. But I've seen communities that don't have that. I'd rather take the pressure than be in the community that's literally going backwards and dying.
Mm-hmm.
And 35 years ago, you know this, Mary, Viroqua was on that precipice.
It sure was.
Yeah. It was almost on its way out.
Mm-hmm.
And people came, people from within, people from different places came and built that energy that's causing some of the pressure.
Right.
You know, from the guys that helped build some of these trout streams to organic farmers. Everybody helped build this wonderful sense of energy that means we always have to keep working on it.
Right.
Right.
And thank goodness we do.
Yes.
And
yes.
I want to share some thoughts about that after we take this station break to remind people you're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM here in Viroqua, Wisconsin. We're also streaming live on WDRT.org, and you can find the program all week on the, it'll just be up, and after that it'll go into the archives on Conversations. My name is Mary Christensen, and we're talking with Teresa Washburn. having a real fun time talking about our favorite place, Viroqua, and our work and community. I was thinking about the themes. One of the things that impressed me when I first moved here was that the revitalization program also had an agricultural committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the county fair, mm-hmm. and Nelson's, you know, the service to the whole community. It wasn't just within the borders of the city. It was raying out because we understood that the vitality was from our wholeness there.
Oh, that's right. And it was very interesting, I want to say, while doing this on a state and national level, because during mm-hmm. that time, we were getting guidance from the state of Wisconsin and we were getting guidance from the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And we were a rare community at that time. If you remember, we were the smallest community that mm-hmm. received a Main Street designation. And so when we started talking about, well, we need to, you know, think about the rural community, they were like, wait, what?
Right.
Because they hadn't experienced that
right.
before. And they sort of said, well, that's a lot of energy, you know, to
think. Try to take care of
yeah,
them, too.
Yeah, exactly. And we're like, but just because you, there, like, if you live in Vernon County and you live particularly near Viroqua, I mean, I live 1.5 miles outside of Viroqua, but I feel like a Viroquan, right? Because mm-hmm. this is my town. This is where I do everything. This is where you shop. This is where you eat. This is where you do everything. It's where my businesses are. It's a the outskirts provide for the inside, you know, for the town, and the town then provides. It's a constant movement back mm-hmm. and forth, and so they were a little taken aback by that because the other communities were much bigger, and all they really could support is really dealing with the Main Street area. But not only that, we were thinking about Main Street starting, you know, down on the south side all the way to the north side, which again was another thing that they had not thought about. And these things were really important because we really saw this community as a whole, not just Main Street. Mm-hmm. And we started kind of, will I say we started a trend? I don't think so. But it helped them understand that in smaller communities, you cannot separate just a downtown area from the whole of the business district, mm-hmm. and that business district being also your agricultural community. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, back then there were lots of dairy farms and things like that around, and the farmers were a critical component in
Absolutely.
The economy.
Right.
I'm sad to say that that is not the same. I would love to see all those family farms still, but that shifted.
Yeah, I would too, but I think that there's a resurgence of a new shape mm-hmm. with the regenerative agriculture.
Yeah.
And with the direct sales off the farms. Mm-hmm. And there are other forms that will allow small farms to exist.
Right.
But in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just life, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. You can't, mm-hmm. you have to stay curious. Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, how can we still have our agricultural community that we love so much and live in a modern society where, you know, that isn't necessarily the way to make money, right? That wasn't mm-hmm. making money the way they used to, mm-hmm. right? So.
But I love the way that you framed that as a question. I feel like if we carry these questions of, I wonder how today's going to work, or I wonder mm-hmm. how this is going to work, or I yeah. wonder how we could get a radio station, or I wonder. All of these things make an opening, you know, energetically.
I wonder if we can, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I wonder if I can. Mm-hmm. Is really, it's your heart feels it. Mm-hmm. Like, it brings joy to you. Mm-hmm. And it makes you a person that is open to something different, right?
Mm-hmm. And open to collaboration.
Right, because
there's
nothing.
You cannot
nothing.
Do it alone.
You and I are like, nothing. I mean, there is not a thing in my life that I ever did. In fact, well, I would say some of my mistakes were really just mine. But But all the things that I ever did in my life that I look back and I think, wow, that was pretty good. Wow, was it a collaborative effort? Mm-hmm. You know, I was a part of something. And my name maybe was on it or maybe it wasn't on it. And nowadays I could care less, right, whether my name's on something. But what I knew is that we cared about each other in this endeavor. Mm-hmm. And we supported each other, and that's what got it done. Mm-hmm. And some of those people are gone now, and I still hold them dear in my heart.
I know. Yeah. We just have friends on the other side.
Yep.
Yeah. But we got a lot from them.
Yes.
A lot from them. They modeled, and that's that wisdom they modeled for us. One of the things that I was, that I've done in the last few months is attended a public, like, introduction. There mm-hmm. was an introduction to the county comprehensive plan mm-hmm. process.
Yep.
It was down at the, since I'm part of Kickapoo in Reedstown, was in the, it was held in Reedstown, so it was easy to go to, too. And then I was, recently there was an introduction to the watershed mm-hmm. councils. Mm-hmm. And the one on our side, so it was Tainter.
Oh, okay.
The first one. Mm-hmm. Tainter was mm-hmm. the first one. I got such a great education mm-hmm. being there, watching who was there, how mm-hmm. they were representing. Man, the amount of humility mm-hmm. for the amount of work and effort mm-hmm. that people have been putting in. Just, I mean, whether, like, the outcomes, I mean, that... I care about those outcomes, but I care more about seeing, again, this respect of each other working in these ways mm-hmm. and feeling a lot of confidence that because it's collaboration and because they have such respect for each other and are doing this, questioning, yep. well, I wonder how we're going to mm-hmm. deal with this then.
Right.
I wonder how, oh, that...
It's just a beautiful thing to mm-hmm. see. I'm so appreciative. And it is important, and I think this is also wisdom, is that things happen in a timeline that we are never pleased with. Mm-hmm. Like, we would like things to be going on for a while. And I remember I've done things where people go, well, when are we going to actually do something? And I think it's important to know that in these groups, you can see these ideas. And some people will come and wonder, well, when is it going to, what are all these just ideas, you know? Mm-hmm. But human beings have made literally everything that we have on an idea.
Right.
Right?
Yep,
and some of it came quite late, right? Quite mm-hmm. later than the idea. Mm-hmm. So when people go, oh, these are just ideas, it's like, well, that pretty much is how we have everything.
Right.
Whatever you're driving, whatever you're holding in your hand was first somebody's idea. So this is really important. If people are getting together with ideas, with energy, and combined with knowledge, which it sounds like this is, they've got the knowledge that they need. Man, you're talking about great things.
Right, and sometimes there are things that we kind of build a prototype.
Yeah.
Not quite yet. Okay, well, let's improve on this prototype. Maybe, you know, I mean, even this station went through all these different
yes.
stages.
It's just wonderful, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, it is.
It's wonderful, and it's wonderful that we are, I think a mistake is one of the greatest things we can do. And, you know, science says our brains actually hold on and remember the mistake better than something you did correctly. Why? Because that's how we live, right? Mm-hmm. So all those mistakes, quote unquote, right, that we make are just the way that generates our understanding of the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes we hope you don't make a terrible mistake that hurts somebody, obviously. But hopefully somebody behind you has the wisdom not to make that mistake again. Mm. But that's really important that things evolve and you go, well, why did we do it this way? We need to change that. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Right. So how are we doing with our housing stuff?
Well, the housing is really interesting because, you know, there is a perception that Airbnbs are creating a housing crisis. Mm-hmm. However, there's always been a housing crisis in Viroqua, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And you could go back to all the different ways that we might have eliminated housing in Viroqua, and particularly in town. So when I think what people think about, like, housing in Viroqua, they're thinking about housing within a walkable distance to downtown. That's kind of like what people want, right? But that land mass is limited. And we did a wonderful thing. We have a beautiful hospital here that serves the county and beyond. And we have wonderful doctors. It's an amazing, employer, everything. But they took down a ton of houses for that, mm-hmm. right? There were lots of, where you see True. Parking lots, there were houses. That was houses.
Right.
And you know, there was dissent. And right or wrong, I don't know. I mean, you know, look back on it, and would it be nice to have houses all around there? Yeah, maybe it would. But as we evolve, but the benefits of that hospital are so great that they might outweigh, mm-hmm. you know, the problems it created.
Right.
So the question is, and as somebody that's offering short-term housing to people, what is the benefit of short-term housing versus the mm-hmm. versus
the detrimental effect.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think the committee is working on, like, limiting, which I think is very important, the amount of, because you just don't want this whole community to be, you know, then right. it's not a community anymore, right? That you limit the amount, you put parameters around things. And then also, where are we putting new housing? Mm-hmm. Like, where are we offering people to live, mm-hmm. and how are we doing that? And one of the ways is that big building we go by every day, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And I'm housing the project manager.
Oh, you are?
That, yeah, okay. yeah. I'm short-term housing the project manager for that project, right? Mm-hmm. So all of those things just keep having to work on it. And if you point blame constantly at one thing, then you're not seeing the whole picture anymore. There are ways to solve problems I do think. I mean, I came on one of the first Airbnbs in town, and I'm surprised at the growth there. And I do think there needs to be regulation around that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. But we also need to think about the breadth of what's happening with our housing.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing I do like is that a lot of substandard housing is getting remodeled.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I came here, we couldn't find a thing.
35 years ago, I could not find anything
to live in.
A single woman, I couldn't find anything.
No. That's why we're out of town.
That's why I'm out of town. That's right.
Yeah. yeah. And I like it, but still, it's the reality that there is a lot that could be renewed mm-hmm. very, very nicely mm-hmm. in good lots, small houses.
Yes.
There could be. I've been recently thinking about, could there be a form of organization that held financial assistance or in some way
right.
for that instead of just financial assistance for the person who moves in.
That's right.
But for the infrastructure.
Right. And one of the things that, as a person that has housing, happens all the time. People call me and they're like, do you have something? And then they tell me how much they can spend. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That's going to be really hard.
Yeah. I think we'll see Soldiers Grove and Reedstown and Viola start flowering,
yes,
actually.
Yeah, there's all. That's what I say. Just keep open. Don't point blame at one thing, but understand the whole picture.
Right. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. So I did talk about watershed councils. The fact that water really is so important.
It's one reason why people love it here. Yeah.
Right?
The water. I just was walking down at Duck Egg, and I was like, oh, this is just heavenly, and water is such an important thing in this world,
yes.
right? It's such an important thing. And we have these beautiful waters.
Yes.
And we've created parks to share them with people. And we've created open access to share them with people. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And people want that. There's something about the water mm-hmm. and the moving water mm-hmm. that makes us feel at peace.
Yes. Well, and the quality is just fantastic
of the water.
Here.
Yes.
Ancient seabeds and all of that. So, anyway, I think about these watershed councils and the people who are testing the rivers, and I give them a lot of credit.
Absolutely.
That they're really guarding our blessing.
Yes, they are.
And wherever we can do that, I think we should do that.
I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Should be a bumper sticker. Guard your blessings.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Teresa, this has been just fantastic.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And I hope, when are we going to get to read your book?
Very soon.
Are you going to have it at Rivers?
Yeah, it's finished, and I am working on getting it published right now and working on my second book. So
fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, someday maybe we'll talk about that.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.